In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The first collect for Ember Wednesday in Lent. Mercifully hear our prayers, we beseech thee, O Lord, and stretch forth the right hand of thy majesty against all our adversaries. This collect at first seems rather more general in its theme than some of the other ones we hear during Lent. Indeed, the second collect of the Mass will refer more specifically to the practices of Lent. We start to encounter, and on another occasion during Lent, I will speak in greater detail about this, we encounter here some of the most common formulas for Roman prayers that we find in the Mass. There are certain phrases here which we find again and again in prayers throughout the year. When it comes to the Holy Roman Liturgy, there is no urgency about finding different words to say each time that we pray. Far from it. As we know, we are all very much accustomed to reciting the Psalms on a regular basis, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Apostles' Creed, and so on. There is no great need for Catholics to always pray and coming up with different words. Therefore, the Roman Liturgy, too, often uses the same formula again and again. And that we find especially today with the formula of the extension of the Lord's right hand. Today's prayer follows a slightly different invocation to prayer than we find on normal days. Instead of the usual greeting Dominus Vobiscum, followed by Oremus, this prayer is preceded by the invocation Oremus Flectamus Genoa. Let us pray, let us bend the knee, let us rise. We will hear this again another couple times during Lent, after the time of the Ember Days, and, of course, at the Easter Vigil, and as for the invocations that are on Good Friday. It is always on some special occasion that this invocation was included. It will be a couple more times in Lent as part of the ancient preparation of catechumens for their baptism on the Easter Vigil. Today it is there, especially in preparation as a scrutiny, not for those who are about to be baptized, but for those who are about to be ordained to the priesthood. For this is, and has been since antiquity, one of the canonical days, that is, Ember Saturday, one of the canonical days for the ordination of priests. A little bit earlier than that, going back to the earliest antiquity, it was only the Easter Vigil in which that could occur. However, the addition of this Saturday, this Ember Saturday in Lent, was made in the earliest centuries in Rome. A reminder, briefly, about the meaning of these Ember Days and how they fit during Lent. Do not make the mistake, as I did early on, of thinking that Ember had something to do with Ash Wednesday, as though we were somehow remembering the embers from the fire we used to burn the palms. No, it has nothing to do with the English word ember. It is simply an English corruption of the Latin quatuor tempora, four times or four seasons. And you may know, too, that that is the origin of the Japanese dish tempura, which was devised to eat on the Ember Days. The Portuguese there, evangelizing the Japanese, devised this fried vegetable dish as something that could be eaten on days of penance. It might well be asked why we have these particular days of penance when, as you have already been instructed, in the early days there was already a very rigorous fast throughout Lent. It would seem that the best historical explanation is that the full 40 days of fasting in preparation for Lent was originally for those preparing to be baptized. However, soon after, all the other Christians wished to join with their soon-to-be Christians in undergoing that full fast, whereas the preparation for Easter began, first of all, in the earliest times with a rigorous fast during Holy Week, it soon expanded outward, and those who were already Christians did not want to leave alone those who were preparing to be baptized, and soon it expanded out to a full 40 days of fasting. The other Ember days that we find throughout the year are a little bit older than Lenten Ember days. The ones that we have on other periods of the year, that is, in September, December, and June, eventually fixed for the octave of Pentecost, these predate the ones that we keep now. Nevertheless, these are very old. We know for certain that they were already well established in the 5th century, which means they must go back even earlier, but they are not quite as old as the other Ember days we find in the year, and so it is possible, nevertheless, that somehow when these Lenten Ember days were put into place, there was perhaps still some room for variation in how the Lenten fast was kept. At any rate, the Roman Church wished to sanctify the four seasons with these days of fasting and abstinence, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. This was a particular Roman practice that was proposed to the whole Roman Church and then to the rest of the world. Fasting on Wednesdays and Fridays was known to everyone, both in East and West. We see that evidenced by the fact that our Eastern brethren continue to observe this unto this very day, fasting throughout the year on Wednesdays and Fridays. We have the earliest testimony of this, documents that date back to the very same time as the Bible itself, to the New Testament, that is to the end of the 4th century, already bear witness to the fact that Christians fasted on Wednesdays and Fridays throughout the year. Certainly the earliest Christians did keep Easter every year. However, they were great in their fervor in wishing to keep every week as a preparation for the resurrection. Every Sunday was to them a mini Easter, and therefore they prepared for it well by fasting on Wednesdays and Fridays in memory of the betrayal of our Lord on Wednesday and his death on Friday. However, early on in Rome, the practice developed of continuing the fast from Friday all the way into Sunday, so keeping a full fast on Saturday as well. We have witness of this in the writings of St. Ambrose in the 4th century, who says that while in Milan, where he was bishop, they only fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. He says, when I'm in Rome, I do as the Romans do, which is where, of course, we get that adage. This particular fast, then, of Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, although it was only 4 times during the year, was proposed to the rest of the Christian world, and so it was adopted throughout the Western Church eventually, at least on these 4 periods of the year, to do this fast on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. But as I said, it soon became a great preparation for another sacrament, not baptism, but rather holy orders, which would be conferred on the Ember Saturdays. With all the many readings and collects we find on that day, each one corresponds to one of the orders that will be conferred, all the way up to the Holy Priesthood. Which is why these figures are presented to us on this day. Moses, Elias, and then finally, as we will see on Ember Saturday, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, each undertaking a 40-day fast. We are invited to have a great courage on this day. The Holy Mother Church wishes to encourage us by the reading she proposes to us, especially the words that are spoken to the prophet Elias, who is despairing of his mission and wishes to give up and die. The angel comes and brings him a small hearth cake and a vessel of water and tells him to eat. First one time, after which he sleeps, and then telling him to rise again and eat a second time. He says, arise and eat, for thou hast yet a great way to go. And he arose and ate and drank and walked in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. The earliest fathers understand this passage to mean that we are to have a different sort of food during Lent. What is to accompany us on our 40-day pilgrimage is not the normal foods that give us pleasure throughout the year. Whether we are to take only the minimum, as the prophet Elias did, and what truly nourishes us, fills us with joy and strength throughout Lent, is our penitential works, especially our great works of almsgiving, our works of charity, and turning to God in prayer. This is then what is to fill us up throughout these days and give us strength for the spiritual combat that we have to undergo. For certainly, as the Church prays several times during this Mass to preserve us from our enemies, it is speaking very much of the personal spiritual combat of the soul, which is what we understand by the words that we quoted at the beginning of this sermon, this collect, and we implore the divine assistance. Mercifully hear our prayers, we beseech thee, O Lord, and stretch forth the right hand of thy majesty against all our adversaries, through Christ our Lord. Amen.